Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for today. We thank you for our time of worship. Thank you for each person that's here today, Lord, and thank you for your word that we're about to spend some time in. I just ask that you would illuminate it to our hearts, that you would speak to us, that it would encourage us and lift us up. Just pray and ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. A couple of weeks ago, I got to see the movie War Room. How many of you have seen that movie? I highly recommend it. It's a very Christian movie. It's a movie about marriage and relationships and how prayer and the Word of God can move and work in marriage. And there's a lot of great messages in that movie and a lot of great scenes. Not to give it away for those of you who have not seen it yet, but there's this one scene where the wife goes out to the back porch and has a conversation with Satan and puts him in his place. And it's just a memorable a scene and one of my favorites of the movie. And the reason why I bring that up is today's message is going to be about marriage and relationships. And our text is going to be found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And before I get started, I believe this message is for everyone. It's just not for the married people. So if you're not married, don't mentally check out on me here. I think you can gather some information for those that are having the desire to be married or looking to get married or want to be married in the future. I think you can gain some insight on what the Word of God has to say regarding marriage in this passage. Several of the recent messages in 1 Peter that have been spoken, we've received God's Word on submission as it relates to human government and the workplace. This morning, we're going to talk about authority and submission in the marriage relationship. And we'll first start off by reading the text. Again, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. In the same way, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands so that even if some disobey the Christian message, they may be won over without a message by the way their wives live when they observe your pure, reverent lives. Your beauty should not consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold ornaments or fine clothes. Instead, it should consist of what is inside the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very valuable in God's eyes. For in the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also beautified themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You have become her children when you do what is good and are not frightened by anything alarming. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with an understanding of their weaker nature, yet showing them honors as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Before I get started, I want to state what this passage is not saying. This passage is not condoning abuse or telling a wife to act like a doormat in her relationship with her husband. It's not forbidding the use of makeup, jewelry, clothing, an attempt to be attractive. It's not teaching that men are more superior or valuable than women. And it's not teaching that wives should follow their husbands into sin. Starting in verse 1, with the phrase, in the same manner or in like manner, refers us back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, where it shows the example of Jesus Christ. And it reads, for you were called to this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his steps. He did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile and return. When he was suffering, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. You have been healed by his wounds, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Jesus was submissive to God's will. So as Christian husbands and wives, we should follow his example. Twice in this passage, Peter reminds wives to be submissive to their husbands in verse 1 and in verse 5. The word translated submit or subjection is a military term that means to place under rank. God has a place for everything. He has ordained various levels of authority as described in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 14 and 18, where it talks about human government and the workplace. It also says in Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Headship is not dictatorship, but the loving exercise of divine authority under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that again. Headship is not dictatorship, but the loving exercise of divine authority under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Submission does not mean that the wife is inferior to the husband. In fact, in verse 7 of the passage that we just read, it states very clearly that the husband and wife are heirs together. Men and women were made by the same Creator, out of the same basic material, and both were made in God's image. In Genesis 1:28, God gave dominion for both Adam and Eve. And in Galatians 3:28, it reads, there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. Submission has to do with order and authority, not evaluation. It's not about the husband being superior and the wife being inferior. It's about the different roles God's designed in marriage. Husbands and wives must be partners, not competitors. There is nothing degrading about submitting to authority or accepting God's order for marriage. If anything, it's the first step toward fulfillment in marriage. Being married to an imperfect, sinful human being involves some suffering. Being a godly spouse is all about doing the right thing, even if our spouse is doing the wrong thing. God is calling us to follow the example of Jesus in our marriage and to choose to be gentle, patient, respectful, and loving, even when we are treated unfairly. How do you endure and keep gentle and quiet spirit when you're being treated unfairly, when your husband isn't leading you biblically, when your husband is being inconsiderate? The answer lies in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, which we read earlier. Remember that Jesus is the judge. Remember that he will address every injustice. Don't fight back. Don't revile in return or threaten. Entrust yourself to God. Further in verse 1, Peter recognizes that some husbands are unbelievers. They don't obey the word. I want to share a story that I got from George Mueller. For those of you who don't know, he was the British gentleman who started the orphanages in Bristol, England, back in the 1800s, and he shares this story in one of his books. He tells of a wealthy German whose wife was a devout believer. This man was a heavy drinker, spending late nights in the bar. she would send the servants to bed, stay up till he returned and received him kindly, and never scolded him or complained. At times, she would even have to undress him and put him to bed. One night, in the bar, he said to his buddies, "I bet if we go to my house, my wife will be sitting up waiting for me. She'll come to the door, give us a royal welcome, and even make supper for us if I ask her." They were skeptical at first, but decided to go along and see. Sure enough, she came to the door, received them courteously, and willingly agreed to make supper for them without the slightest trace of resentment. After serving them, she went off to her room. As soon as she had left, one of the men began to condemn the husband. "What kind of man are you to treat such a good woman so miserably?" The accuser got up without finishing his supper and left the house. Another did the same, and another still, until they all had departed without eating the meal. Within a half hour, the husband became deeply convicted of his wickedness and especially of his heartless treatment of his wife. He went to his wife's room, asked her to pray for him, repented of his sins, and surrendered to Christ. From that time on, he became a devoted disciple of the Lord Jesus, one without a word. George Mueller goes on to advise, "Don't be discouraged if you have to suffer from unconverted relatives. Perhaps very shortly, the Lord may give you the desire of your heart and answer your prayer for them. But in the meantime, seek to commend the truth, not by reproaching them on account of their behavior towards you, but by manifesting toward them the meekness, gentleness, and kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ." What a great picture of what one can do when one is submitted to Christ and follows his instructions. I see a picture here. You see the picture of Christ in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 25, where Jesus comes down from heaven. He suffers and endures suffering, but in the end, there's victory. And this wife, too, suffered. She was obeying, submitted to God, obeying what the Word had to say about her in regards to her husband. She endured some suffering, but in the end had some victory in winning her husband to Christ. Wives, your example of a quiet submission to your husband is a powerful witness to him. When you choose to support your husband's leadership, you testify to the reality of a greater authority in your life. God will reward your faithfulness. He will sustain you. And perhaps God will save your husband by the conduct of your life or bring back a wayward husband like the movie in the movie War Room. To affirm your husband's leadership is saying with your words and your behavior, "I support you. I believe you're called by God to play this role. I am committed to making your plan a success. I'm here to be your helper." A word of caution, a word of advice. Wives, you will never nag, criticize, or nitpick your husband into being a godly leader. But your faith and encouragement and support will transform him. Nothing stirs a man's heart to aspire to be a godly husband like the affirmation of his wife. In verses 3 and 4, the word translated adorning is cosmos with a K in the Greek. And it gives us our English word cosmos with a C, the ordered universe, and the word cosmetic, which is the opposite of chaos. Peter warns the Christian wife not to major on the external adornment, but on the internal character. Glamour is artificial and external. True beauty is real and internal. Glamour is something a person can put on and take off. True beauty is always present. Glamour is corruptible, it decays, and it fades. True beauty from the heart that my wife, the lovely Laura Lee, possesses, grows more wonderful as the years pass by. That doesn't mean that a wife should neglect herself and not be up to date in her appearance. Any husband is proud to have a wife who is attractive and maintains it. But the beauty must come from the heart and not the department store. In verses 5 through 6, Peter points to Sarah as an example of a godly, submissive wife. This probably isn't a reference to any specific incident, but rather to the long-term pattern of her life with Abraham. For her to follow Abraham meant trusting God, sometimes in difficult and even dangerous circumstances. Sometimes Abram even told half-truths about her that threatened their marriage, but Sarah remained faithful to him. Holy women are women who hope in God. It's the hope in God that enables you to obey an imperfect husband. It's the hope in God that enables you not to fear anything that is frightening. The believing wife who submits to Christ and to her husband and has a meek and quiet spirit will never have to be afraid. God will watch over her even when her unsaved husband creates problems or difficulties for her. Moving on to verse 7, husbands, it's your turn. Notice the phrase, in the same manner. We saw this phrase also in verse 1. Both husbands and wives first must submit to God's will for marriage to work as God intended. The wife's role is to submit to the husband. The husband's role is to live with his wife in an understanding way. Notice it doesn't say, husbands, understand your wife. That's impossible. But it says, live with your wife in an understanding way. That's a different thing. Husbands, God is calling you to a lifestyle of growing and understanding and knowing your wife. Your position of authority is not a license of insensitivity. Your first task as a leader is to understand the wife God has entrusted into your leadership. This involves listening to her, asking questions, and studying your wife. And this touches on every aspect of life together, from money and child raising to the bedroom. Our tendency as men is to be selfish. Instead of listening and understanding, we as men, we want to fix things, provide solutions, and move on. So you might ask, how can you work to understand your wife? I think there are several questions that we can ask. This is not an exhaustive list, but somewhere to begin. What are the unique aspects of who your wife is as a person? What are her strengths, her weaknesses, her goals, her fears, her frustrations, her interests? What is her daily schedule? Is she carrying too much? Is it a burden? What are her daily burdens and cares? How and when does she like to communicate? What words and actions express love to her? What is her love language? Is it physical touch? Is it quality time? Is it receiving gifts? Is it acts of service? Is it words of affirmation? And have they changed? I know I've realized in my own marriage, when we were first married, there was a different sequence of those languages that I just went through. And since we've had children, they've kind of moved around. So you need to ask the question, what expresses love to her and has it changed? And make the change if it has changed. How do your personal strengths as a husband and weaknesses affect your wife? And how do your decisions that you make for the home affect your wife? Getting the answers to these questions will help you as husbands grow in understanding and knowing our wives. Husbands are to show honor to their wives as the weaker vessel. Something that hit me while I was preparing for this message is that if the wife is the weaker partner, then that means the husband is also a weak partner. And what I mean by that is that the word is clear. It says, apart from God, we can do absolutely nothing. But it also says in the word of God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I think we as husbands need to understand that we're also weak. We're also to understand that our wives are not weaker only because of their physical strength, but also because her marital vows to honor and obey put them in a weaker position in the marriage. The husband is not to take advantage of her and her role in the marriage, and she should be cherished at all times. I think God is also saying, husbands, don't use your physical strength as a justification to mistreat your wife. Instead, show her honor. Gently appeal to your wife from the authority of God's word. And regardless of your wife's response, you are called to live with her in an understanding way and to show her honor. What does it mean to honor your wife? It means that you consider her significant, to esteem her and to appreciate her. So why should husbands live in an understanding way and honor their wives? The first reason is that husbands and wives are equal recipients of the grace of eternal life. We should live in the light of the day that the Lord returns. We must never treat our wives as inferior or as servants, but as joint heirs of God's grace. The second reason is so that your prayers will not be hindered. How you treat your wife affects your relationship and communication with God. If you abuse the authority that God has delegated and entrusted to you, then your fellowship with God will be hindered. God isn't listening to you if you're not listening to your wife. The husband must be the thermostat in the home, setting the emotional and spiritual temperature. The wife is often the thermometer, letting him know what the temperature is. Both are necessary. The husband who is sensitive to his wife's feelings will not only make her happy, but will grow himself and help his children live in a home that honors God. Wives, remember, you have daughters in the home and they are watching. Husbands, remember, you have sons in the home and they are watching you. In closing, I know this passage is easier to read than it is to live out in our marriages. What this passage is instructing us to do is difficult, particularly when one spouse is not adhering to these instructions. The wife will say, I'm not going to submit because my husband is not living with me in an understanding way and he's not honoring me. And the husband will say, I'm not honoring her or listening to her until she submits. The problem with these incorrect attitudes is that this passage on marriage does not come with any qualifiers. This passage does not say, only if your husband leads you biblically and honors you, do you submit. And it doesn't say, live with your wife in an understanding way and honor her only if she submits to you. Wives need to submit to their husbands whether or not the husband does his part. And husbands need to honor and live with his wife in an understanding way whether the wife submits or not. So what do you do if you find yourself in this scenario? You do what Jesus did that I mentioned back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 23 and 24 And it reads, I need to read it one more time. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he was suffering, he did not threaten. He did not fight back, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Entrust yourself and trust your spouse to the one who judges justly. And know that you have found favor with God, for it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, back up to verse 20, for what credit is there if you sin and are punished and you endure it? But when you do what is good and suffer, if you endure it, this brings favor with God. To end this message, I want to have a time of prayer for the married couples in the room. And what I would like you to do, you can do a couple of things. You can either come up front, you can stay where you are, get in the aisles. But what I'd like you to do is get next to your spouse, stand face to face with them, hold each other's hands, and I want to pray some scripture over all the married couples in the room. And for you kids, and for you that are not, if you would maybe surround some of the couples that are around you and put your hands on them and circle them, whichever is easiest, please do that. I'll give you a moment to get in position. Let us pray. Father, give my spouse a discerning heart to know your great love for us and the great plans you have for us and our family, plans to prosper and not to harm, to give us a hope and a future. Father, give my spouse the mind of Christ, saturate it with godly wisdom. Help us to take every thought captive that is not in obedience to your word, and in so doing, protect us from pride and temptation. Father, open the eyes of my spouse's heart to understand your word so that we won't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may know your good, acceptable, and perfect will for our life and our marriage. Father, help my spouse to trust in you with all their heart, not depending on their own understanding, but acknowledging you in all their ways, so we know what direction our family should take. Father, may the favor of the Lord rest on my spouse. Bless and establish the work of their hands and their hearts. Father, help us to live together in perfect unity by loving, honoring, and respecting one another and serving each other for your glory, honor, and praise. I pray that we would speak truth and love to each other, honestly and openly sharing our feelings with each other. I pray that our marriage will glorify you and be an example of your intention for marriage. Bless and strengthen our marriage in the midst of the pressure and problems of our lives. I ask that you protect our marriage from the attacks of Satan. Deliver us from evil, destructive plans. Grant that we might find great delight and joy in each other. I pray that you would deepen and strengthen our friendship for each other. I pray that your power would sustain and give stability to this marriage. Help us to discern and deal with those things that hinder and hurt our relationship. I ask that our strengths would match and overcome our weaknesses. I pray that we would be kind and tenderhearted to one another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. I pray that we would be sensitive to the needs and hurts of each other. Enable us to minister to each other in the area, in those areas. God, create within us a hunger for each other. Let us be satisfied with one another. I plead that you would give us a heart to seek after you and serve you all the days of our lives. I pray that you would grant us the wisdom and power to gain and use our finances wisely. I ask that you would deliver us from pettiness and unforgiveness in our relationship. I pray that we will surrender all that we are and all that we do to each other. I pray that we would love you with all our being and our neighbors as ourselves. I ask that you would love and obey your word, building our lives, marriage, and family on its truth. I plead that we would be patient with each other in all circumstances of life. I pray that we would be kind and gentle to each other through the ups and downs. I ask that you would not let any jealousy or envy gain ground in our relationship. I plead that we will always seek what is best for our relationship. I pray that we will share each other's burdens and hurts. Enable us to overcome the pride in our lives. Set us free from the pride that will hinder and hurt our marriages. I ask that we would not be rude or thoughtless concerning each other. Deliver us from selfishness that would hinder and hurt our relationship. I ask that you would rejoice in each other's strengths and gifts and would pray concerning our weaknesses and sins. I pray that you would give us a love that bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things. I ask that our love for one another will never fail. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. If you have any prayer requests, any needs, we will be up here to pray with you.